Sabonis to the right corner. Again, Robinson wide open. And again, he hits a three. He looks terrific here in the first half. He's got 8 points. He's hit a couple of threes here in the second quarter.
We welcome you back here to the Sideline Guys podcast alongside Jeremiah Johnson. I'm Pat Boylan. Jeremiah, first and foremost, you know, I'm thinking back, and, you know, this is, I think, been so natural to do this year, to think back to last year. And I remember you and I kind of having to do an emergency podcast at this point because there was one game left. We were hoping the Pacers would be clinched by this point last year, and they weren't, going into their very final game against Atlanta. Of course, they won that game, did make the playoffs. It's really nice to know that we're going to have a podcast here on Monday, and then we're going to have another podcast later in the week previewing the playoffs, and that's something I can guarantee you. And just being able to say that right now compared to last year or even 2 years ago, I think, where they clinched on game 80 or 81, a testament to the team, certainly, and it's nice to know that no matter what happens on Tuesday, the Pacers are in, and they've been in for a while.
Really, Pat, you can go back the last three seasons, because I don't even remember two seasons ago all that much. I do remember last season, if the Pacers don't win the final game, they're not in. And then two seasons prior to that, remember being in Memphis, where there were three scenarios or three things that had to happen for the Pacers. I think, you know, it felt like to not make the playoffs, and all three of them kind of happened. One of those was, I think, San Antonio losing a game, which then meant Memphis would try to win the game. And still, you went into that final game with a winner advanced situation, and it felt like a game seven two of the last 3 years. And I think 2 years ago, it definitely went to the last week. So it, of all seasons where you would expect this would not be the case, where you'd have to fight until the final week, here they are. Before they even went on that Western Conference road trip, they locked down a spot. And I do think probably about a month ago, I think we were projecting, you know, wins. And I said once it got to January or February, even probably, that if you could get to that 4-5 game, you know, sign me up. I didn't even care necessarily about home court advantage, but to have the record they have right now with 48 wins and a chance at 49 and to still not get home court advantage doesn't almost feel fair, but I think you just still are okay. You're in that 4-5 game in a season where nobody had expectations. And I want to get to where once these playoffs start, I don't bring that up again, but I do think perspective is important in that. I know the players thought they would be in the playoffs, but to be in that 4-5 mix and to be fighting for home court, even the most optimistic of fan, I think, would probably be like, well, everything would just have to break perfectly. So you're right. I think it's great to have this final week where you can take a breath, because it's been a road heavy couple of weeks, and you're pretty much in a spot where you can almost know your matchup and know everything about the playoffs, and that's a good thing.
So we want to make this very clear doing this podcast right now that we're not going to look so much forward as we are going to back, because we're going to have one that comes out maybe Thursday that we start to break down the Pacers' first-round playoff opponent and all the things as it relates to that. So we are certainly not ignoring what the Pacers have right in front of them. First of all, we don't know exactly what that is as of taping here on Monday. But also, we wanted to, you know, kind of do the season justice, and we can talk here about how the Pacers are playing right now going into the playoffs, but also wanted this to be kind of a big picture look back at some of the top moments of the season and kind of how the season rode out, because, you know, it got off to, well, immediately kind of a slow start. Then the upward trend, things fell down around New Year's, and then everything has been really solid in 2018. But I think general, just big picture right now, you know, that Toronto game was as much of a scheduling loss as you're going to see. And otherwise, the Pacers have looked really, really solid. And from that aspect, I think you have to like with what you're seeing on the floor from Victor Oladipo especially. I think that's what stands out the most to me, is he's shooting, for example, nearly 50% from the three-point line over his last seven games. And that's the kind of trend you want to see the Pacers have as they get into the playoffs, because when that three shot's falling for him, he has a completely different weapon that he doesn't otherwise have. I guess your general thoughts here on how Indiana's playing as they close in on playoff time.
When you said schedule loss, I think it was interesting that Nate McMillan, of all people, is not one to make excuses, but he said it in regards to the Toronto game. And I think there was even some behind-the-scenes discussion about, you know, 2 weeks before, looking at the schedule, saying that Toronto game, if the Raptors are trying to win and doing everything they can do, that's going to be difficult. And do you just, you know, chalk that up as a game to maybe rest, even though this is a team that doesn't really take games off. But for Nate to say that, I think you just have to say, throw that one out. And then if you look at the two games around that, the way the offense played both Golden State and Toronto and Charlotte, you have to feel really good about the offense. And as you said, Victor Oladipo, a quick thought on Oladipo and his shooting percentage, because I think that was for cause for concern, because we heard so much about how defenses are changing the way that they defend Victor, and he has to work harder. And you've seen more double teams. And the last month, we've seen him pass so much better out of those double teams, find the open man. And I did hear, not this directly from Victor, but I think Sports Illustrated did an article on the Pacers and Victor Oladipo in about mid-March, and I was trying to find it real quickly here, but I think there was a line in there about perhaps that Victor Oladipo had hit the wall. And I heard this from someone else, so I'm not going to necessarily say that this is 100% exactly what was said, but I heard that Victor was aware of this article or read this and said, I'll show them the wall. And about the time I heard that, he's taken off. So, you know, I think his shooting is on. I'm not concerned at all about his shot. I'm back to the point where when he shoots a three, I'm expecting it to go in almost every single time. And he's working on his free throws. We saw that with Tom Crean yesterday. So no worries about that either.
Yeah, and that Pacers win over Charlotte coming on Sunday. The Pacers will have Charlotte again on Tuesday night as the Pacers close out their regular season. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. All right, we wanted to take a little bit of a look back and kind of try to encapsulate this whole season in about 30 minutes, which is difficult. I know you are in agreement that this has been, of the 4 years that we have been in this specific role, the most enjoyable year, for me at least, by far of those four. And so we're going to do our pick three, but with a whole season's worth of memories and moments, I think we're going to alter our format a little bit in that I'm going to have three, you're going to have three, and they're going to be kind of under different categories. Yours are going to be maybe more under the radar moments, behind the scenes moments, and then I'm going to pick, for me, what were the three most standout moments of the year. And so for me, we will do that. And then we also asked you. We asked Twitter about what your favorite moments are, so we're going to get mine, we're going to get JJ's, and then we're going to discuss some of your favorite moments as well. And not surprisingly, there's going to be some crossover. For me, the first real wow moment of the season was really early in it. It was the San Antonio game. The Pacers led for a majority of it. And, you know, you have to kind of think of some of these moments, go back to the context of it. Like right now, beating San Antonio at home might even be expected. But back then, early in the year, coming off of the offseason that they had, where everybody thought it was going to be a major step down, beating San Antonio at home was a huge deal, and the Pacers led for a majority of it, lost the lead in the fourth. Victor Oladipo buries a three late in the game with the game clock running down, and it was kind of Vic's first signature moment. I believe maybe it was the beginning of the My City finger point kind of thing, so that's my number one. Do you want me to go through these, or do you want to go back and forth on here? We never discussed.
Let's go back and forth. I think we'll bounce around a little bit. I think that's a solid choice, and one that we won't mention here, but I think is worth mentioning since you referenced the Spurs, was the win at San Antonio at the end of a five-game road trip. That stood out to me as one where I was ready to go home and kind of get the trip over with. San Antonio felt like they were a team that, A, had revenge against the Pacers from what happened earlier in the season, and they were trying to find themselves a little bit, and the Pacers went and won that game and really just made every big play in the fourth quarter, led by former Spur Corey Joseph. So just throw that one in there as well. Both San Antonio victories were big and certainly memorable. I'm going to try to go a little bit under the radar with my three. And so the first one I'm going to pick is the week of the trade deadline. And it was an interesting week because I felt like the team could go really any direction at that point. They still had yet to really put together solid defense that we've seen since the All-Star break. You've started to see Victor Oladipo not as efficient offensively. And in the middle of that week, though, the Pacers played the Wizards on a Monday and didn't have Darren Collison or Victor Oladipo. Then you find out Darren Collison is hurt and will be out a while. And then Victor was sick, and you have a game at New Orleans that was part of a, you know, it's a two-game road trip. It was at New Orleans and at Boston. And it looked very challenging. And then the rainout. And I remember thinking Thursday afternoon, it feels like we've been on the road for a while. And when was the last time we played a game? And that was also trade deadline day. And so everyone was talking about the Cavs and what they did. And there was no, you could not say with 100% certainty that the Pacers would not have been involved at the deadline. I was hoping they would not have sent anyone away, but I think there was a realistic possibility that Kevin Pritchard was talking to people and he was considering offers, and maybe teams wanted players' salaries, or maybe they wanted players or draft picks, and you just didn't have any idea where the season would go at that point. You had a rainout game, which you never see. The Pacers then had to have a practice at Tulane on Thursday, and you're going to Boston, and you're just like, this is going to be tough to get a win at Boston against the Celtics. And it ended up being what I thought was one of the biggest wins of the year, because you have to respect who Boston is and what they are. And in that game, Oladipo was 15 for 29 from the field. He was just 2 for 8 from 3, but he had 5 steals. And I remember sitting next to Brian Scalabrini, who does a number of national radio shows and also works Boston Celtics TV. And he was just raving about Oladipo and the way he played, how hard he played, how much he also didn't complain. He could not believe some of the calls that he did not get. And he was telling me, he's like, he doesn't get that whistle. He doesn't get that superstar whistle, does he? And I said, I've seen this kind of all season. And so to get that win 97-91 against the Celtics, Kyrie Irving did play in that game, played 31 minutes. It was mostly a healthy Celtics roster, except for Marcus Smart and, of course, Gordon Hayward, who's been out all season. That under the radar, just that whole week of having the rain out, surviving the trade deadline, being intact, and then going and winning at Boston against a team that had defeated you twice on your home court already, that's a memorable moment for me.
Yeah, I think that certainly stands out as well. So I've done one. You've done one. Let's let the fans do one here. And how about this one from Zach Grinslade, which may be a little bit more of the under-the-radar type, but he says, and maybe a little recency bias here, he was so proud of the game versus the Clippers in L.A. And it's funny because that wasn't necessarily one that necessarily immediately stuck out to me. But, yeah, that was a game where you're coming off a couple of easier wins on the road, Golden State without all their players in Sacramento. And then you had a chance to start to make a statement on the road trip. And the Pacers went in to take on the Clippers, a Clippers team that needed a win so badly. And the Pacers weathered an early storm, came back, and got that win. So I think that's a pretty good answer there from Zach. My number two pick will be, and I'm doing this in chronological order, the Detroit game. It was the first of a bunch of big comebacks that the Pacers had. And a lot of them came in December and in January, and maybe even this near the end of November, but the Pacers had a ton of comebacks. The first major one came against the Detroit Pistons at home. That was Friday, November the 17th. The Pacers won 107-100, well known as the Lance Stevenson game. The Pacers were down 22 points, and it was Lance that really, if you remember, this might be hard to remember because Lance has had a pretty good year, but he did not have a good start. His first few weeks, he really struggled, and Stevenson came into this game in 18 minutes, made 5 of 7 shots, both of his three-pointers, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. The air guitar came out. It was kind of Lance Stevenson for the first time sparking this team. And I just look back at the quarter-to-quarter. The Pacers were down 9 after 1. They were down 11 after 2. They were down 10 after 3. The deficit got as high as 22 points. And then they outscored the Pistons 36-19 in the fourth quarter. And a lot of that thanks to Lance. And I know as we were discussing this, you had this as a top moment as well. And I kind of stole it from you. But that was one of the first really memorable comebacks of the season. And probably Lance's first signature moment of the year.
Absolutely. This was one I was going to pick because it sort of, encapsulated the entire Lance Stevenson experience, I think, from the first half of the season. I think in the second half, we've seen less crazy Lance. You've seen some good plays, but he's tried to be a little bit under control. We won't bring up the triple-double chase against the Hornets because I think that was a step backward for Lance, and hopefully he's back on track this week. But I just Googled Lance Stevenson Pistons, and the first picture is the one where he's got the Hickory jersey on, and he's got his arm stretched out, and I don't even know necessarily what he was doing. But after the game, then it led to Lance and Victor dancing, and that was just one of those games this season where I was watching, and I was like, this is really happening, because even though you know what Lance can do for the Pacers, part of you, when you see the way he plays at times, you think he can't be that valuable of a contributor to a really good team. And, his numbers may not be great his you know, analytics may not say that he's a vital part of the team, but I think the Pacers probably have 4 or 5 wins this season because of Lance, and I don't know that they have any losses because of Lance. So I think that that was a perfect way to say, yeah, Lance's impact on this team, and then it energized that entire fan base at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Great pick, and I just added a little commentary on that as well. My under-the-radar one, and it's early January, was actually Basketball Day Indiana, which is a busy day for all of us because we're working some on the high school broadcast, and I was doing some work that day at the Pacers Athletic Center with some of the youth basketball games that were taking place. And so we didn't have a great amount of time to really necessarily dig into that matchup against the Bulls. And so maybe I wasn't completely aware of everything that was going on, but got word early in the day that Bojan Bogdanović was questionable and Glenn Robinson III was still not able to play. And so then it's like, okay, well, I wonder what they're going to do with the starting lineup. And so the decision was made. Bojan didn't play. It was the only game all season that Bojan has not played. And Damian Wilkins gets the start. And so he's someone who some games had come off the bench, but some games had not played. And you also knew out there was the possibility that Damian's contract would not be picked up. Basically, if he was waived before that weekend or that weekend, then his contract was not guaranteed for the rest of the year. And you knew the Pacers maybe would like some flexibility if they would like to acquire someone via waivers. So I found out that Damian was going to start, and I just asked Dan Burke after he was warming up Lance Stephenson. I just got down there to try to get something for an in-game hit, and I said, you know, what do you think about Damian? And the first thing he says is, I'm nervous for him. And he probably, maybe he thought that I knew, that Damian knew, but none of us knew that Damian had already been told that he was going to be let go the next day. And so can you imagine what's going through Damian's mind? He's had a big impact on the team. I think at times he wishes he would have been able to play a little bit better, hit a few more shots offensively, you know, from the three-point arc. He was great in training camp, but he didn't have the percentage, I think, that he would have liked. But he's going to get this start, and who knows? It could have ended up being his last NBA game ever. I mean, you don't know at this point. He's not made it back in the NBA. And he started, and he hit double figures, and everyone was so happy for him. And I think you even interviewed him after the game, and nobody knew that he was going to be let go the next day. And he still showed up at practice, and he still did interviews with media members after practice on Sunday, even though he was technically had been waived. And that was proof to me of the entire team-first attitude that everyone has had and really the impact that Damian had on this team. I think it's still being felt. And so I did exchange messages, and I had a sideline report in the Hornets game about Damian. And he did tell me that I asked him simply what makes this Pacers team special. And his response was, the thing that makes this team special is the trust. Each and every guy in that locker room believes in the next. While I was there, it was always constant encouragement, no matter how tough times got. We stayed together and never wavered. I can see now that has paid tremendous dividends, and it's fun to watch. And so then I also said, Damian, this was just actually just via messages, so I'm reading what he had written back to me. Is there anything he hopes the team learned, the players learned from him during his time with the Pacers? He said, while I was in Indiana, I tried every day to show the same resilience and to always be ready when called upon. I stress that every day to those guys, especially the Joe Youngs, the EKs, the Alex Ps of the world. I think everyone else knew my pedigree. I tried to push Lance to know how important he was to the success of the team. And I was always in Miles' ear about being aggressive and staying confident. I'm really proud of the job they've all done. It's bittersweet, really, because I want so bad to be there. But to know I've left somewhat of an influence is enough and all I can ask for. And I think in this season, it's easy to forget about Damian Wilkins. Yeah. It's easy to think about that game and say, oh, yeah, it was a win against the Bulls. But I that's one of those games I think I'll never forget now, knowing what went into it and what Damian must have been thinking, knowing he was going to be waived, but the professional attitude that he had, and then to play well, it's almost out of a movie script.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think it's good that you brought him up, because it is, you know, I don't mean this negatively, but it's just easy to forget about that because he didn't play a whole lot. And if you weren't around the team regularly and you're just watching the games, you might not know his impact. And I think you did a great job of trying to tell that story on TV throughout the year and tried to do the same on the radio. But he certainly had an impact, and I think still has an impact on this team going forward and into the playoffs. All right, we've done two of mine, two of yours. Let's get fan number two, and this one we'll do a little bit more of a tongue-in-cheek one and be quick with it, because Johnny_number5 His pick for favorite moment was Paul George getting traded. So that'll be our fan number two pick. So we are through two. My final one, and I think we would be extremely remiss to go throughout an entire podcast where we are picking top moments and not pick one. And who would have guessed a game coming back from the All-Star break against Atlanta would stick out as anything resembling something you'd remember at the end of the year. But that's the Corey Joseph steal, the Corey Joseph bucket. He falls to the floor. The entire team comes running at him. That image ended up being the artwork used for the Pacers clinch graphic throughout Pacers.com and Pacers social media. And I think whenever you think of one moment, and there are a lot of these this year, but you think of one moment in your head that kind of visualizes, and to use a word you just use, encapsulates this season and what it has been and the togetherness of the group. For me, that's what that is. The entire team sprinting down from the other side of the floor. I remember when he fell, thinking the whole other team is not near him. Who's going to pick him up? And I remember being a little bit worried because Joe Young ran off the bench but not onto the floor. They did a nice job of staying out of bounds. But Joe Young came over and a couple other teammates came as well from the bench over to where Corey was. And, you know, it wasn't a game-winning three. It wasn't a 22-point comeback. It was in a game that was, if I remember right, a blowout anyway. But, you know, that moment might stick out to me as the number one moment of this season, even though there wasn't maybe as much significance behind it as others, because I think it just sums up this team and what it is so well. And, you know, as the years go on and you'll be looking back at your books and media guides and all that stuff, I think that picture is going to stand the test of time, or that video is going to stand the test of time. So I'll go the Corey Joseph together moment as my final pick three.
Good choice, and one that I remember thinking the same thing. Are they allowed to run onto the court from the bench? Could they get a technical foul? And that'd be a technical I think they would have even been glad to accept, and great choice by the marketing folks to capture that image and then to share that, because it is. And maybe it should even be on the media guide next year as well. So great pick there. Tried to go a little bit under the radar behind the scenes with mine. This is a great win, and I think it's one that will probably be brought up later this week, even potentially quite a bit if Philadelphia can just lose one more game. But it's the Pacers' 101-98 victory at Philadelphia. Still the only time the 76ers have lost on their home court since January 1st. I find that remarkable. I cannot believe that team has not lost a game since March 13th. I still think there's no way they can win 16 straight games and going into the playoffs. They have to lose one of these next two. But the Pacers won that game. And the thing that you have to have confidence, if somehow the Pacers can play that team in the playoffs, Bojan Bogdanović was 1 for 11. Victor Oladipo was 4 for 21. Domas Sabonis played 10 minutes and severely sprained his ankle. And they won the game at Philadelphia. And so that was one of those games. I don't get to go into the locker room really all that much because home games, we have a long post-game show. By the time I wrap up, there's really no one in the locker room. And on road games, you know, basically once we wrap up, I'm always courtside hosting the post-game show. And I sometimes will walk in the locker room, but if I'm not getting an interview, I don't always just go in there and say hi to the guys. You know, I can do that whenever. But I did go into the locker room after that game. I wanted to kind of get an idea of how Domas was feeling. And I think I got an interview with him that I shared via Twitter about his ankle. But as I was in there, Miles Turner was holding court with reporters. He had 25 points, was 9 for 12, and had some national media members there doing some stories on him. But while I was listening to Miles talk, I heard what you hear almost every game. It was Victor singing in the shower, and it was SWV, I get so weak in the knees. And I mean, everybody kind of in the locker room, the guys, they didn't really flinch, but all of these reporters that had not been there before and been around that team, they're kind of looking at each other and be like, is this real? And I just was like, I just stood back and I just kind of wanted to kind of capture that moment. And I think if more people were around this team, I mean, you can't help but notice the love right now for Philadelphia and some of these other teams around the NBA. But if more people with major NBA voices spent a considerable amount of time with this team, I think that, I mean, they would feel the same way about them that the fan base has. They just love this team. And could you imagine, okay, 4 for 21. I could imagine quite a few superstars. What did he have, 11 points? that would not be happy, even if his team won, with that kind of performance. I mean, he could get nothing to go offensively. Victor was happy as could be, singing. And I just think that that is a good moment to share in this season full of memorable moments, because it was a big win. It was a place that nobody is winning right now. The top two scorers were non-existent almost offensively, and you still won. And then that mood afterwards, if you weren't a believer before that game, you became a believer that night, and I have no reason to change my belief right now.
And I think it's just so amazing to think, you know, that Philadelphia team, as you mentioned, has not lost on their home floor in 2018. The Pacers beat them with all of those issues. And then you say, man, if you were to go back and say after that game, Philadelphia's got to finish 16-0 to end up with the 3 seed, and they might end up doing that. That's pretty remarkable, too. And I mean that as a compliment to Philadelphia, but then also as a compliment to the Pacers, that that's the team that Indiana beat, you know, without their two leading scorers playing essentially their worst games of their season. And Domas not being there for a chunk of it. So, yeah, that was a pretty remarkable win. And maybe if you just would have said before the game, here's how Victor plays, here's the scenario ahead, you could make a case. It was one of the more improbable wins of the season. But I think that's just kind of been the theme of this season, is that those improbable wins maybe shouldn't be viewed as improbable. So, we'll look final here, and we'll get to some of these other fan votes in a moment. But Nate Wright, this is a great example of how many big moments and great moments there have been this season, and that you and I have named 6 total now, that we've picked 2 from the fans. This is number 9, and yet this, I remember just being as jaw on the floor when this happened as just about any moment this season. And Nate Wright's pick is Victor's career best against the Nuggets in the comeback win. For me, that was the arrival of this team. Victor Oladipo had 47 points that night. The Pacers were down by 8 points with 3 minutes to go, and Indiana still wins the game. So you think about it, down 8 with 3 minutes to go, and you win. Victor Oladipo scores 47 and puts on his heroics. And yet that wasn't like immediately one that came to my mind. And I don't even think we weren't doing it justice. I think it just speaks to how many great moments there have been this season. But that Pacers-Nuggets game, I mean, if you remember, Gary Harris played really well in it. Trey Lyles had maybe, I would guess that was his best game of the year. I'd have to go back and look. But Trey Lyles had 25 points. Like, what in the world? And yet the Pacers still found a way to do it thanks to 47 from Victor Oladipo. And, you know, just another great moment at the Fieldhouse. And yeah, you just have to think about if you had regular tickets to see this team this year. We're so lucky in that, you know, we get good seats and get paid to be there. But if you regularly had tickets, I mean, the bang for your buck this year was remarkable. If you just had tickets to like 3 games, you would almost have been guaranteed, if you just randomly threw 3 games at a dartboard, you would have been guaranteed to see something pretty remarkable, even if you just went to 3 games this year. And that was another one, 126-116. Pacers over Nuggets in overtime. Oladipo scores a career-high 47.
That game was phenomenal, and I think that if you wanted to remember a little bit of that game, I wanted to give a shout-out to Kelly Dwyer, who has a NBA website subscription-based called The Second Arrangement, but one of his free articles that he does make available to everyone is his recap of that night, and I believe he lives in Lafayette, so he writes about the Pacers quite a bit, covers the entire league, and he has a unique way of writing about games and experiences and ties in current events as well. And so just Google The Second Arrangement or Kelly Dwyer, even maybe subscribe. It's $5 a month. It's not expensive, but there's a behind the box score and it says Victor Oladipo is a star. And so it's a pretty good little article and it does help you remember how cool that game was. And I do think that it was one of the arrival moments of the season for the Pacers and for Oladipo. 47 points. You have to do something special to score 47 points in an NBA game. And if you were not a believer in Oladipo as a star, you became one that night. Any others on the social media that you're seeing and noting?
Yeah, so we promised to make this, you know, kind of a fans podcast. So let's just get through and make sure we acknowledge everybody who tweeted us in, because we certainly appreciate the engagement. Michael or Mikhail actually tweeting in 2 minutes ago, the comeback win against Detroit. So we hit on that one. Joe Emmert, who is a regular listener, and we appreciate Joe. He has a good answer. So far, he has 48 of them, and Joe's hoping to have 49 before the playoffs. Surya has Victor's game winner against the Spurs was by far my favorite moment. He made it, ran to the crowd, and did This Is My City celebration. Definitely felt like he was saying, do you miss me, Indy? Well, I'm back. and loved it. Let's see, we've hit on John's, hit on Nate's. Kevin said, Kevin was asking, yes. So Kevin's question was, will this include the playoffs? This podcast is just about the regular season. We'll have one coming out a little bit later that details the playoffs. Tottenham American, who's a Pacers fan and a Tottenham fan, actually picked my exact three for moments of the year. So those were his picks as well. We got Zach's.
Also,
on
is
air.
That your is that your secret Twitter account then?
I'm not
you're,
a Tottenham
Kevin Durant.
Fan.
You're set.
No,
you're,
my what a I can't think of the word.
Burner account, is that what they call
burner
it?
Burner account. Yeah. No, that's not my burner account.
Okay.
Zach, we hit on Zach's, I believe. Yeah, that Clippers game. Alex Bariev talking about the togetherness Kojo moment. And then John O'Brien saying, not sure if I have a favorite moment. Just been a lot of fun watching this team compete this year. Good to be excited about the Pacers again. So we thank all of you for tweeting in. Those were a lot of good answers. And I think we all were kind of in agreement on where those top plays were. But I think it just shows how many of them there were this season.
And I will say that it was hard for me to find the responses today because my timeline is filled with likes and retweets and comments to my tweet yesterday about Tom Crean and Victor Oladipo shooting free throws. But I think it does remind you of a game earlier this season that probably deserves to be one of the moments, and that was when Victor did 10 push-ups before the post-game interview because he was not happy about missing free throws. And then you come back to April, and I did not even realize that he was 0 for 2 yesterday from the free throw line. I knew he was 12 for 15 and had a pretty efficient, solid Victor Oladipo type of game. And we were doing the post-game show, and I look over, and there's Victor in his uniform. I saw him walk out, and I wondered if he was going to sign some autographs or meet with some fans. Then he starts shooting free throws, and Tom Crean is out there. And so we did cover it on the post-game show and got a little bit of traction with that. And then I snapped a picture. And it might be my most shared tweet ever because at this point I have 132,000 impressions, 22,000 engagements. I don't even know if this means anything or what it means, but clicking the Twitter analytics, 18,000 media engagements, nearly 2,000 likes, nearly 500 retweets. Now, I'm not a Kardashian. I don't have that many followers. So to get this much traction, I think it did take the assistance of @Pacers sending a retweet. But that's going to be memorable just because of the reaction to it. And it's probably going to be something we will probably have to discuss tomorrow because of how interested the fans were in that. Not just because of Tom Crean, but I think because of Victor never being satisfied. And it's a good way to have confidence about this team heading into the playoffs.
So we'll have a playoff preview version of this podcast coming up later this week, and we can break down whoever the Pacers' first-round opponent is and get into all sorts of questions like that. But I guess as we – it's weird to put a bow around the regular season when there's still one more game to go tomorrow. But for all intents and purposes, that's what this podcast is. And you know, we try to be as – you know, fair as broadcasters as we can with the understanding, you know, that we are hired by the Pacers and Fox Sports is a huge partner of the Pacers. But, you know, we try to be fair with our analysis and as, you know, fair as we can be. But you just look at a year like this and they're not all going to be like this. And very few are going to be quite like this maybe at all. I mean, you look at maybe what Utah's doing this year. Otherwise, there just aren't these examples. You don't see this happen that often. And I think there's an importance of look. We all want to make a deep playoff one run. We want to see the Pacers be playing in May. It'd be, you know, incredible if they let this streak continue into the playoffs. But I think there's an importance of being able to look at what this season has been, regardless of what happens here going forward, and to be able to appreciate it. I was going back and forth with a fan in my Twitter mentions yesterday. Just we were discussing Miles Turner, and he was really frustrated with Miles. And I just kind of thought, you know, if you're a fan of this team, like, maybe don't find the one or two things that frustrate you about this team right now, and maybe just try to understand the big picture of what's happening, because I don't think you want to look back at the 2017-2018 season and all the remarkableness, if that's a word, that it was, and then be frustrated that Miles Turner played a poor game, you know, in most recently here in Charlotte. So, big picture kind of thoughts here from you as we wrap up.
I think that's well said. I don't know that I could even say it any better, but I do think that there is a nice opportunity this week to catch your breath from this regular season. And I think it is good to, you know, it's cliche to say you start a new season, everybody's 0-0, kind of blah, 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 blah. But I do think it's important right now to spend a couple of days. Tomorrow, if the Cavs win tonight as we record this on Monday, I'm guessing it's not going to be a game treated quite the same then as if the Cavs lose tonight, because if the Cavs win, there is nothing to be gained from the game against Charlotte. So you've got this whole week to sort of do what we did. Sit back, spend an hour, write down your favorite moments. Whatever you do, whether you text chain with your friends or you tweet, and just appreciate it. You can even get on League Pass if you watch League Pass, or you know, however you can, if you've got a DVR, revisit some of the moments, because it has been one of those moments that it's truly been memorable. And I say, I kind of feel like after every year that I enjoy it, but you're reminded of how good it can be after a season like this. And just know this, I do not feel any satisfaction from the team that they have accomplished something. And I think the fans, it's okay to feel that, that, you know, like, wow, this has been fun. This is awesome. I don't feel it from the players. Now, who knows what will happen, but don't go into the playoffs fearing anyone, because I think that we're past the point now of saying nobody expected anything from us. Whoever the Pacers play in the playoffs, Cavs or Sixers, just prepare that if there is a ESPN article asking experts to predict the winner, it will be at least 19 of 20, if not 20 out of 20, of them picking the opponent. Great. Who cares? I don't care what they say. I don't care actually what they don't say, because we know they're not going to spend the podcast talking about the Pacers. It'll just be about whoever the Pacers is playing. Great. I don't care. I don't need them. I'm happy to have you as Pacer fans. Pat, I'm happy to have you as a podcast partner, and I cannot wait for the postseason, but I've enjoyed the regular season immensely, and I give a shout-out in this Fan Appreciation Week to the fans for, really, I mean, they've been as positive. There are a few that get frustrated with some things now and then, but it's been a very positive experience being a part of even Pacers Twitter this season. So round of applause to the fans, round of applause to the players. To you, Pat, my broadcast colleagues at Fox Sports Indiana, not to be so, you know, everything's peaches and roses at this point, but, you know, appreciate this, and then let's look forward to the challenge of the postseason.
Yeah, well said, I think. And, you know, 19 of 20 might pick somebody other than the Pacers in the first round, but that was probably about the totals of the Pacers making the playoffs in the first place, and here we are. So we will preview the playoffs coming up a little bit later this week, but again, hey, thank you to the fans, a thank you to listening to us throughout the year. We haven't given Pacers Reddit shouts in a while, so shout out to our friends at Pacers Reddit. And he's Jeremiah Johnson, I'm Pat Boylan. We will talk to you later in the week, previewing game one of Pacers versus TBD. We'll talk to you later on the Pacers podcast, Sideline Guys podcast. Jeremiah Johnson, Pat Boylan.